Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. In this episode, we have a conversation about being an elder in the local church. Specifically, if one aspires to one day serve as an elder, we consider the question, how does someone prepare? We discuss what an elder is, explore key ways to prepare, and briefly consider some challenges along the way. At GBC, one of our deepest convictions is that Jesus is the head of the church. He is our chief shepherd, and all other leaders are to humbly lead under his leadership, pointing others to him. This episode is a contribution to that end. So join us as we consider together what is an elder in the local church and how does someone prepare. All right, guys. For this week, I wanted to have a discussion around what encouragements, counsel, we would provide a brother who aspires to be an elder. So I've had conversations with guys in the life of GBC and thought it'd be good to have a podcast conversation about it, just to highlight some key aspects of what an elder is, how to think about that biblically, and then just some encouragements we would give for a guy who is thinking, hey, I may aspire to the office of elder. So why don't we make sure we're clear on what an elder is? So we're going to read aloud two passages and then we'll dive into the conversation. Todd, would you mind reading for us 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7?
I can do it.
Thanks.
The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil.
Okay. Qualifications for elder. Then I'll read for us from Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you may put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So probably a lot of Gresham Bible Church is aware, familiar with those passages, but let's just kind of put some stakes in the ground here. What is an elder? From these two passages?
Well, an elder is to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. Is to be a Christian man.
Good start.
Yeah. The reason that I said that is because the qualifications are remarkably unremarkable. Mm. They're just character qualifications, and they're the kind of things that every Christian should not aspire to, but expect, right?
Yeah.
This
good word.
Or it's what we would expect of other Christians.
Yes.
And so maybe you do aspire to have these kinds of sanctifying works in your life that are resulting in this kind of character. The only thing in the list of qualifications that would point to a kind of gifting would be the ability to teach. And then of course they are asked to lead and to rule, to govern. And so,
yes.
So a Christian with godly character who has the gift of teaching and must be able to lead, and that must be demonstrated in their in their own lives.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that phrase. And it's a good reminder that it's ordinary mm-hmm. in terms of it's mainly character qualifications, mm-hmm. not competencies, not a particular set of skills. It's what kind of person and evidence of God's grace and how they relate to others. It strikes me how relational the qualifications are for what an elder is. An elder is a brother in Christ, a man who's a Christ follower in such a way that this under shepherd looks like the chief shepherd. Jordan, anything strike you?
Yeah, I mean, the character part, obviously you guys have both said it. I've always appreciated that about the call of an elder, that it is character. And then, yes, teaching is important. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times when we think of elders, pastors, the first thing we think about is how well do they teach? When yep. that's, yes, it's important, and having skills and abilities in that certainly is beneficial to the church. But if they don't have the character that's described in these, why would you want to hear what they have to teach?
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of churches go astray in who they promote as elders, pastors, is, well, they're so funny. They're so dynamic when they preach the word. It's like, yeah, that's great, but mm-hmm. are they self-controlled? Are they above reproach? Are they humble, or are they selfish? Are they puffed up because of the role they have of teaching other people? And so if we can get the right quality of men to be elders, and I think that starts mm-hmm. to take care of itself, that the teaching is more impactful to the people because we know the heart and the character yeah. of the person delivering that message.
Yeah, that's good. I love where your mind went of how that lives in the life of a local church. So if we're talking about, okay, how does a brother prepare himself potentially for being an elder? He's sharing that, hey, I aspire to this office, and you're helping someone. I think it's really important that we're clear on what an elder is. So, you know, what we've already read, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. And just real quick, I'm going to draw our attention to 1 Peter 5, because it's going to highlight and put language to what we're talking about. So I'm going to read for us verses 1 through 3, 1 Peter 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And then it talks about when Jesus, the chief shepherd, appears. So if someone's aspiring to the office of elder, they're aspiring to be an under shepherd, mm-hmm. a shepherd in Christ's church. So, in God's kindness, I think for those that have been at GBC for a while, we rightly see and understand and appreciate the office of elder as spiritual shepherding. It's not a board of directors. It's not just a bunch of guys who are really successful in the business world and make good decisions from spreadsheets, although that's not bad for those that love spreadsheets. It's not people of influence or people that give a certain amount to a church. We're talking about shepherds. So if someone aspires to the office of elder, he is aspiring to be a shepherd in the chief shepherd's church. I just think it's important that we kind of take disarm any misconceptions about what an elder may or may not be. Maybe for those that have been in different church contexts, maybe there's some misconceptions, or they've had a bad experience of what an elder is. And an elder is, when you boil it down, a shepherd. So it's kind of, we know that, want to make sure we're clear on that and not assume it first. So what does it mean for someone to aspire to the office of elder? What does that mean? Like, what conversations have you had in your life? What thoughts, biblical principles would you help a guy discern an aspiration to the office of elder?
Well, you certainly have to want to be. Mm-hmm. that itself is a qualification, because it's, I mean, I'm not trying to make it sound like it's coal mining or something like that, but it is a burden.
Yeah. Amen.
And so there is a bit of work, and there is a weight that you carry that is very different than when you're not an elder. I don't precisely mm-hmm. know how to describe it, but we have elder sabbaticals, mm-hmm. or whatever we're choosing to call it, yeah. when a person rolls off. Mm-hmm. But there's a significant difference in how you like what you feel, the burden of responsibility from one day to the next when you're an elder one day and then you roll off and it's like a weight has been lifted. And it's so that's a real thing. And so you have to want it. You're being asked, or if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, of elder, and an elder is a pastor, an elder is a shepherd. And shepherds, I think if we look at the Bible about what the, I have four or five things that I typically would say. One, shepherds provide for their sheep. And so an elder needs to provide, that is feed. That's going to be a word of God based mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Amen.
Shepherds guide. And so elders need to be able to lead. Elders protect. Shepherds protect the sheep. And so that's what elders have to do for the people of the church. And then care for or nurture that's what shepherds do with the sheep. And that's something that elders do within the church. And then in 1 Peter, the passage you read, mm-hmm. he kind of breaks the metaphor because he talks about shepherds being example to the sheep. And of course, that's not what any real shepherd of like literal sheep does, as far as I know. And I've been around a lot of sheep ranchers in my life. So I'm pretty sure they don't care one lick about being an example to the sheep, but that's what elders mm-hmm. have to be within the church. And so there has to be a desire to take that responsibility on to do all those things, because it's, if you don't want it, you can't do it reluctantly. Now, having said that, I'm going to backtrack. I'm not really backtracking. I'm nuancing. I'm saying, on the other hand, there needs to be a little bit of reluctance, because who is worthy of such a thing?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And so if you think, oh yeah, I check all the boxes, I'm it, mm-hmm. then you've probably disqualified yourself right there. On the one hand, you can't go into it reluctantly, but on the other hand, there needs to be a lot of humility about it.
Yes.
So
I love how you approach that, both things kind of living together, true at the same time. In preparation for our conversation, I was just kind of press and replay and in my life and brothers that have come alongside me at different times. Sometimes a guy may start to feel this desire, this compulsion towards it. And that's a good thing. He who aspires to be an overseer and elder aspires a good thing. That is mm-hmm. good. And then you have to peel back the layers. Well, why are you aspiring to it? What does that look like? As I was thinking about this, hashtag rocket science, I'm going to state the obvious. It's what I'm good at. I think it's really important that we rightly see and use biblical language and categories for it. Because if someone I'm teasing you, Jordan, but I know we're having a conversation. Is it okay to say I'm called to ministry? Mm-hmm. But if someone says they're called, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm called, and that's just how it's going to go down.
Right.
Whereas aspiration is built in. The presupposition mm-hmm. is you're discerning that, walking that out within the context of the local church of which you want to desire to be an under shepherd.
Yeah.
So aspiration is discerned and exercised within the context of a community, of a particular group of believers. So I would just encourage guys, when you're thinking about, hey, would the Lord ever want me to be an elder? Think about it like the Bible describes it and use aspiration language, because mm-hmm. it'll help you rightly see what the office is and also how to discern if that's where the Lord's directing you and what the time horizon is and all of that. So that's one thought, aspiration. It's important to hang your hat on aspiration rather than just I'm called to it, end of story. So, and I'm going to open up a box of awkwardness here. Jordan,
yes.
Brother, do you aspire to the office of elder?
I do. Yeah.
Good.
And that comes from a place of I love deeply our church and our people. And I don't, Lord willing, I get to be a part of GBC for decades and decades to come. And yeah, there's no one else I want to do life with than this church. And if I can play a part in helping to, you know, teach people God's word and to help them in their own walks with Christ and continue to see the new leaders rise up. I just, yeah, my I have such a deep love for this church. I want to do whatever I can to help them, because this is, yes, I'm on staff as student ministry director, so it's my job, I guess. But I say all the time, I'm ripping you guys off. I'd do this for free. So, yeah, to be involved just in the lives.
We have that on record.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Suddenly there's a budget opening.
There could be another
paid staff.
Just to be involved in the lives of the people that you care about the most, and getting to walk alongside them. I feel the weight of that, but it's one that, I want that just because of who else would I want to do that with?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 I know we're on a podcast, a public facing discussion, but brother, I affirm your aspiration and love that about you and how you seek to, shepherd the youth in our church and how you care for GBC as a whole, its members, of which the youth are a part, just the youth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, yeah. All right. How about, how does one prepare for the discerning process of whether they, if it's the Lord's will for them to be an elder in the life of a local church or not? So how do you prepare for that? So you start to feel, right, that desire. I think I aspire to this. What next? What's that mean? What encouragements would you give to someone?
Well, the obvious is you have to be growing in your relationship with Christ. Yep. And you have to be growing in godliness. And so all the passages of the scripture, in the scriptures, that speak to what sanctification looks like in the life of a Christian, that you want to do those things. Amen. So that's like the obvious general one. More specifically, once that's the case, I think you should just talk to people, mm-hmm. especially, and by talk to people, I really mean talk to the elders.
Yes.
And say, hey, this is something I aspire to. What do you think? So,
amen.
That's a good first step.
Yeah. And we would welcome those discussions, right? Like I love talking with a guy about that. That's a blessing to the elders of GBC, that's a blessing to the brother. So yeah, to discern that with the elders of which the church you're a part of. I was thinking about this in a few ways, in so many ways. Todd, like you said earlier, the elder qualifications are ordinary. Mm-hmm. They're extraordinary because they're evidence of God's grace in our life, but they're ordinary. I was just thinking, like, from a pastoral perspective, how powerful and beautiful it would be if the character qualifications were true of every brother in the life of our church. So those are good and worthy things to aspire to be that kind of person, whether the Lord chooses to make you an elder or not. And so that it's a good thing. And then also thinking about encouragements. This is where that's that yes and thing, like you were talking about, is yes, it's a good thing. So like lean into that aspiration, and though, like Jesus encouraged his disciples, be most in awe and amazement that your name is written in the book of life. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there are some guys who aspire to elder and who meet the qualifications, and for whatever reason, I don't understand it all, in God's kind providence, maybe they'll never become an elder. And that's okay, because Jesus is a chief shepherd. So mm-hmm. to really like be in awe that God has saved you more than how he wants you to serve in his church or not. It seems like there's that humility posture that's baked into that. A few other things come to mind, but Jordan, how about for you? What encouragements would you give a guy? Hey, how do I prepare?
I mean, even before the aspiring and talking to someone, I would hope that you're someone who, yes, you're growing in your own walk with the Lord, but that you know the people that you're wanting to be an under shepherd over, you know, mm-hmm. Under shepherd over. But if you don't know the people, I don't think that desire and aspiration is going to come up within you. Or if it is, that would be a weird desire aspiration of if you're not in touch with already doing life with, already speaking into the lives, encouraging other people within the congregation. Yes. That would be like if you just showed up after 2 months and like, I want to be an elder, but I don't know anyone in this church. Like that'd be a little bit.
Yeah, I got it all figured out. You should listen to me.
So yeah, I think there should be that care component mm-hmm. that Todd talked about is what shepherds do, of there should be a natural care that's already happening there. And then, yeah, I going back to the humility part of it, of I love that our elders at our church, I think humility is like a key marker for all of you guys. Mm. That praise God. You guys don't carry yourselves as we run this church and we decide everything, of like, you're all relatable and relational and know what's going on in people's lives, and have a posture of, we're just trying to discern God's will in all things. And so I think there would be, even trying to figure out, how do I feel like I could even gel with the mm-hmm. elders that are currently there? I know that's a big part of fit, is something you guys talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. And so if, not that we want all carbon copies of the same type of mm-hmm. elder, but if you're someone who does not seem to be marked by humility, maybe that wouldn't be a good place for you to try to worm your way into, or something.
Yeah,
that you totally can worm your way into it.
Yeah, yeah. There's so much into the conversation. How do you prepare? Well, you trust and follow Jesus every day. And then you do, like, I'll speak from an elder's perspective. When we're discerning and praying about, Lord, who would you be rising up in our church to be an elder? We ask ourselves, who's already eldering?
Yeah.
Like, who does the body already see is about this and this kind of person? So how do you prepare? That whole, is it going to sound super cheesy, but remember the old adage, like, dress for the job you want? Mm-hmm. Like, just eld. Mm-hmm. And whether you have the title next to your name or not, like, be a shepherd. So two encouragements for brothers. Care about the spiritual health of the fellow members of your church as much as you care about the spiritual health of your own soul. Mm. So, like, move towards hurt. Care for people. Pray for people. Like, I would just encourage that. That's something that the current elders would look for, right? You aspire to it. But do you care for people? Because shepherds should smell like sheep, right? So you're with people. And then secondly, this is one thing on a list, but I just think I really need to say it for the brother who aspires to the office of elder. Care about, fight for your own personal holiness. Be on guard against sexual sin and crush pornography. Mm-hmm. So if there's a brother who aspires to elder, I promise you, 1 Peter 5 talks about, you know, the enemy who's seeking to kill, devour, and destroy. It seems like one particular way that pastors fall. And so that would mean if you aspire to elder, pastor, you better be in this battle, is to take guys out with sexual sin. So, brother, if you aspire to the office of elder, take your personal holiness seriously, and specifically be on guard against sexual sin. So, that'd be true for every Christian. And there's something about the office of elder that is like something you got to be on guard against and fight for. So that's something that comes to mind, a specific area, mm-hmm. practical encouragement for the brother that aspires to the office of elder. Other things that come to mind?
Well, one of the non-negotiables, and as Jordan said, it's not the only one, but it's one of, is the ability to teach. And so you have to demonstrate that somehow. And so I would say, don't give up an opportunity to teach. In fact, go looking for them. And I would say children's ministry would be a great place to start.
Yes, and then
you should volunteer there. And if you're the kind of teacher who says, well, I only teach adults, then you might not be elder material.
Well said.
Because one, teaching adults is much easier than it is teaching children. So if you can teach children, you can teach adults. And two, you should be willing to teach anybody that their church has a need for. Mm-hmm. Terrible sentence, but And so I would say volunteer children's ministry, youth. It might be that you're not like the greatest teacher of children, and you might be asked, hey, why don't you go work with the youth? And Jordan might say, hey, why don't you do an adult Sunday school class? Because you're, but just throw yourself into things and be willing to
and
serve, right? To piggyback and basically say the same thing you said. We don't make people elders. We recognize elders.
Yep,
That's a good line.
And so, you need to be doing the work of an elder. And then what we do when we recognize you as an elder is we're just publicly recognizing you. And there is then an acknowledgement of some authority has been given to you to do the things that you've always been doing.
Yes. Or
hopefully.
Yes. The members of a local church should already see that brother as an elder. Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. One other thought, encouragement. I'm probably speaking to my younger self in this. If you aspire to the office of elder, to be a shepherd, to be a pastor, is I know we're supposed to say this, but like boots on the ground, rubber meets the road in real life. What does it look like, feel like? How's your family experience you? So that's a key part of the qualifications, is how does a brother lead, love, serve, sacrifice for his family? If he's not doing that for his family, he's not going to do it for Christ Church. So if someone aspires, I would like give so much encouragement to like the gymnasium to train for it is in God's sovereignty, the family he's given you. Mm-hmm. And so that's not something to be assumed. I've heard it said before for brothers that aspire, those that are elders, like GBC could get another set of elders. GBC could get another lead pastor. My family can't get another husband or another dad. At least I pray not. Right. So like, I don't know, there's something to that. Like for the guy who aspires, man, be about it in your family and let the chips fall where they may. So that'd be an encouragement.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And then last thing for the guy who aspires, who's married, have you talked with your wife about your aspiration and does she affirm it or does she have hesitations? I could, that story podcast for another time with Carrie and I, she should affirm it and she should see those things in your life. Know that GBC elders, for a guy who aspires and is in the elder process, we will have conversations with that brother's wife, because probably the worst thing that guy could do for his marriage and for the local church is to move into an office and maybe be even installed. And that's the last thing his wife wants. That wouldn't do anyone any good. So that's one other data point in all of it as well. Yeah. All right. Okay. Those are all like, how do you prepare? How about what cautions or challenges, things to be aware of, would you encourage a guy who's starting to kind of like discern if he aspires to be an office of elder? Things you'd call out, say, hey, be on your guard against this. I've mentioned a few things already. Anything else come to mind you just want to make sure that guy is thinking about and aware of? So I'll throw one for the conversation. Is that guy should be able to articulate what codependencies he has in his aspiration toward eldership. So why does he aspire? And to press into that, we're all, you know, stumbling to glory. So we all got issues. We're all in the sanctification process. But one thing is, if that guy is already codependent on people's affirmation, overly so, he will be set up to fail in the office of elder, and he will probably use the church to prop up his own ego. So why do you aspire? What challenges are in view? One is that identity piece. Where's your identity? And you got to be like working on that in deep heart kind of ways with the gospel, soaking into your heart before you are installed into the office of elders. That'd be one challenge, is to encourage a guy to really like press into that stuff. Anything else come to mind? What challenges or, you know, there's that whole analogy of like, there's ditches on either side of the road. What are those ditches as a guy's on that path, discerning aspiration toward eldership, that you would bring up?
Maybe be okay with not knowing everything.
of reach,
both in terms of, you know, full biblical and theological knowledge. Some things we have a firm understanding of, other things, there's some wiggle room debate of how that works. But also, I think like being open to critique, criticism, encouragement, you know, not just straight horrible critiques on somebody. I know sometimes Mike and I were talking about earlier when people want to meet, is this an encouragement question meeting or a critique meeting of why someone wants to get together and meet? And sometimes those critiques are good, but
yeah,
you have to be open to that, of recognizing, oh, maybe the way we thought this through wasn't exactly the best way. Obviously, you guys are doing your best to work in a plurality and understand God's will for GBC, but that doesn't mean you guys are going to do it perfect. And I think if you feel like you are going to do it perfect, you probably shouldn't be an elder. So yeah, have an aspect of self-reflection, being willing to learn and grow would be good. And if you think like, no, I aspire because I've got this figured out and and I have so much to bring to the table, but aren't able to look inside personally, that might be one of those ditches that could turn bad pretty quickly.
That's a good word. Good word. Yeah. So how do you, if someone's listening to this, all right, I aspire, what does that mean? How do you give and receive feedback? That's pretty important stuff in the life of a church. Yeah. Yeah. An encouragement I would give that's, again, maybe I'm projecting myself, but deeply personal for me is to really trust God's timing. Mm. God is sovereign. He is so kind. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for his church. He doesn't need any of us. And so just to, like, if you aspire, give the timing to the Lord. It's his, it's a good aspiration, like lean into it. But that, then it's kind of like sometimes we put like a shot clock on it, or it has to look like this and on this timeline. That's up to the Lord and we can trust him. So that would be an encouragement for a guy who aspires. Some guys that means they'll be installed in a few years. Some guys that might mean decades. Some guys it might mean never. And just to trust God's kindness and all of that. So, yeah. Probably wrap this up. Huge conversation, but at least it's an entry point. How does someone prepare to discern if, you know, an aspiration towards eldership is be a Christian. So be a member of a healthy local church, be in real relationships with others, be discipled, be discipling, all of those things. How about any resources that come to mind for you guys? I have one before I share it for someone who's preparing towards eldership, discerning that aspiration. Any resources come to mind for you?
The Bible is probably the good most answer. Obvious one. Yeah. There. Yeah, I why don't you give the okay. one that you're thinking of?
Yeah. So the one that comes to mind for me, I read this about a year and a half, 2 years ago. It's called The Path to Being a Pastor by Bobby Jameson. By pastor, he means lay elder or vocational elder. It's not saying like staff pastor, although that could be. It's more the path to being an elder in a local church. Just to give you kind of a flavor for it real quick, I'd highly recommend it. It's a great read, easy read, enjoyable. Some of the chapter titles are, Jordan, like you encouraged us with, Aspire Humbly. One chapter is entitled Make the Biblical Qualifications Your Compass. Another is Learn to Pastor from Faithful Pastors and Healthy Churches. And then he gives a lot of encouragements, Todd, that you spoke to about just serve in the local church and be open to feedback. And so if someone is thinking about, man, I think I aspire to the office of elder, I'd really encourage you to read The Path to Being a Pastor by Bobby Jameson. Maybe we could throw that in the show notes.
Sure.
And if anyone wants to read that and then have a conversation about it, man, myself and yep. any of the elders at GBC would welcome that. So, yeah. Anything else come to mind for you guys?
Alexander Strauch's Biblical Eldership
yep.
is a good one. I'd recommend that everyone read that just so they know what elders do and what you can expect and what you should expect yes. from them. I think the resources we're naming here are not just for that niche group of yeah. people who want to be elders, but it's really everybody in the local church should
well
read these.
Well said. Yep. I was going to say the same thing. I brought one more with me. This conversation can be a subset, but really every member of GBC should understand what an elder is, what to expect from an elder, all of it. It's a shorter read. I think it's helpful with a super creative title, Church Elders, How to Shepherd God's People Like Jesus by Jeremy Rennie. I found it helpful. I have extra copies if anybody wants to read one. There's a few other good resources about elders. And one of your best resources is in God's Kind Providence, the elders of the church you're a part of. So come talk to any of us. Like we've already mentioned, we'd love to walk this path with you and welcome these kind of conversations. So, all right, GBC, hope this conversation has been somewhat helpful, at least. And again, we'd welcome any questions, concerns, ideas. And one way in which you can reach out to do that is by emailing me, and that's at mike@greshambible.org. So love you, GBC. Until next time. Thanks.